needs deliverance badly. And I've seen case after case when people pray and pray and pray and pray, nothing happened. It's very easy to get discouraged. I showed you 2 weeks ago the case where Jesus went up to the mountain with the disciples. And while he was up there, he was transfigured before the disciples. That's when Peter said, "Lord, it's good to be here. Let me make a tent for you, one for Elijah." You remember that? One for Moses. Okay, after all that said and done, the Lord appeared. "This is my boy. I'm delighted in him. Listen to him." As they come down, somebody approached him and said, "Lord, can you please help?" The Lord said, "What's up?" The guy said, "This son of mine is epileptic." The King James called lunatic. And when the demons jump into him, they throw him in the water, they throw him on the fire, and they try to kill him at all cost. Jesus asked, and then he says, "And I brought him for these boys of yours to heal him, and they couldn't." Now that's quite embarrassing, isn't it? You are walking with Jesus for the last 2.5 years. You've seen deliverance being done. You already went out because he gave you power of serpents, scorpions, and all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall cause you any harm. And you did, and you come back all excited. "Lord, you don't believe." "Yes, I do. Tell me. Even the demons submit themselves to us when we use your name." So they knew the gig. And then come this guy here, bring this kid, and they pray and pray and pray, and the demons say, "I'm not going anywhere." So Jesus said, faithless and perverse, wicked generation, how long do I have to put up with you? Bring the boy here. And they brought the boy. When the demons look at Jesus, the demon threw the boy on the ground and they saw some convulsion and some epileptic seizure and whatever you want to call it. Jesus asked him, "Since when this thing happened?" The man says, "Since he was a baby, a little boy. If you can, please help me." Jesus rebuked him. "What a nonsense is this? What do you mean, if I can? If you believe, all things are possible for those who believe." He says, "I believe, but Lord, help me with my unbelief." Y'all remember that, right?
Yes.
Which seems to be a paradox. We got 3 little problems here. We got the deliverance ministers, the disciples of Jesus, who had done that before, that were unable to get the demon out of that boy. We have a guy here bossing around, telling Jesus, "If you can, please help us." Are you serious? Thank God I wasn't there and I wasn't Jesus. I would smack him right in his face. Jesus correct him. "Get your act together. It's not if I can. If you believe, anything is possible for people who believe." So then he had to face the reality here. "All right, Lord, I am a chosen, frozen Christian. Therefore, help me with my unbelief." Are we together here, right?
Yes.
So Jesus get the demon out of the boy. You maybe think, "What is this thing, brother?" It's on Mark chapter 9. So I don't want to go there because it's going to take a lot of time. Jesus got the demon out. They went away. Later, the disciples called him aside. "Lord, how come we couldn't get the demon out of this boy?" They want to know what's going on here. I mean, we did that before. And Jesus said, "Because of your unbelief." Besides, this kind of demon doesn't come out except by prayer. We're still together so far, right? So there are a few things to consider when we get involved in praying for people that are demon possessed or people that has been held into bondage all their lives. You know, when we were working in Suriname among the Hindu people, 90% of what we did was beat up demons. There was a healing here, healing there, you know. The leprous guy, we pray he was healed. Piece of cake. The deaf boy that heard, piece of cake. That's But then you have to deal on a daily basis with the demons behind yoga. That you had to cast them out of people in order for them to get saved and healed and restored. Harrison Ford recorded a movie called Indiana Jones. I never watched the movie, but once I Googled the word Kali to see what in English was available, they mentioned this to the movie. Kali is Satan in Hindu language. And this is one, it's a principality. It's one of the worst demons that you have to deal with. And there were times that we had a fit because those kind of demons wouldn't come out. So my wife jumped in, and the sisters in the church, we had a group of sisters like we do here, jump in and they had to go. So in dealing with people with addiction, in dealing with people that are constantly tormented, in dealing with people that has an infirmity that is lingering around, we need to understand a few things. Number one, we need to have spiritual discipline. I told you that, I'm going to repeat. We need to have spiritual discipline. What do you mean, need to have spiritual discipline? In the book of Mark, chapter 9, verse 29, Jesus said, this kind of demons come out by nothing but by prayer. See that? Now, some translations, like the King James and some others, will say prayer and fasting. The word fasting is actually not mentioned in there. And there's a reason for that. The reason that fasting was not mentioned is because Jesus said, while the groom are present, his friends need not to fast. And then he goes on to say, days will come when they will fast. So it's not that the King James is wrong, because the fasting did come afterwards. But on the day that this episode happened, the disciples did not need to fast because the groom was there. Our groom was there. And then he told, and one of the times, the Pharisees' disciples came in and say, how come your disciples don't fast like the disciples of the Pharisees and the Sadducees? Jesus said, while the groom is present, the friends of the groom don't need to fast. But days will come when they will fast. So that's an explanation why it's not mentioned. So you say, what do you mean by spiritual discipline? We need to have that kind of lifestyle. Not that every time that you're going to pray for deliverance, for somebody to start shooting drugs, or for somebody that is lunatic, or for somebody that have a horrible demon possession, or even an illness that will never be cured, it doesn't mean that you have to be fasting and praying all the time. Otherwise, you'd live in eternal fast. But when I say that we need spiritual discipline, it's Jesus said, this kind cannot be cast out only by prayer. What he's saying here, you better develop a praying habit. You develop a praying lifestyle so that you are ready at any time, at any moment's notice. Are we together here? This is where it requires discipline. You'll be surprised talking to the majority of the people that call the office for prayer. I'd say that 70% of them will pray once or twice a week at home. And they will pray when they go to church on Sunday morning. And I'm thinking, wow. How can you survive spiritually? In order to be successful in dealing with demonic powers that will lame people and cause them to be sick, we need to develop a kind of life, prayer lifestyle. So how do you do that? Well, for one, you could always stop and say, Lord, I bless your name for supplying this food. If you eat three times a day, there you go. Between eating and snacking, if you do five times a day, eight times a day, it's a good start. It's also good before you take your foot off bed and start doing your daily work. Take a time, my Lord, thank you for the evening, for the night. Thank you for the sweet dream. I present myself before you. And may everything that you plan for my life to happen this day, before the foundation of the world, you plan that. May everything that you plan come to pass today. I make myself available. You know what I mean? Develop that habit. Then you put your foot on the ground and you go about your business. Top with that, the eating time. Make a habit that by the end of the day, before you go to sleep, my Lord, thank you so much for the day. It was rough, could have been worse. So thank you so much for this day. Amen. You know, present things before God. Let me tell you something, a very simple secret in the prayer life. There's going to be a day that God is going to be nagging you, bringing someone to your mind. The whole day. Or something. This is God's way to say, hey, stop a little bit and pray for this, will you? And you will find out that until you pray, nothing will go easy. It's just like that thing nagging you. So just stop and pray. I had Kevin Bascon in my mind. And I'm like, why am I thinking about Kevin Bascon? Well, Lord, just visit Kevin, whatever he is right now. That wasn't it. And then I go, I am somewhere, and Kevin Bascon comes back. So I finish doing what I'm doing, jump into the car, I'm driving to come back to church, Kevin Bascon comes in my mind. I walk in and say, Lord, I don't know what's going on with Kevin. Could you please visit Kevin right now? Visit Kathy, his wife. Touch them. If they need a touch, touch them right now, please. Well, I feel a little better. So you know what, let me pick up this phone. I call, he picked up the phone. Pastor Paul, how are you? I said, I'm doing good. Is everything all right? I said, yeah, now it is. Why? I said, the Lord has been nagging me. So I offer a quick prayer for you. It didn't work. I just came out from the street. I had to go into the temple and then take some time and pray for you. I said, thank you. Thank you so much. What's going on? He said, his wife had a stroke in October. That's why he didn't come. So she went to rehab. And she's doing okay. He's not back on the trail preaching. And at that moment, she was having vertigos. Going back. Getting ready to go back to the hospital. And I said, I prayed. She prayed. And then an hour or two later, she's coming back to normal. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. Jesus says, this kind of demons can't be cast out, but only by prayer. It doesn't mean that every time that you're going to pray for something like that, that you have to be fasting and praying all the time. No. It means that we should develop a prayer lifestyle. We pray when we wake up in the morning. We pray before you go to bed. We bless the Lord for the food that He gives us during the day. And here and there, in between, send up some shout of glories and praises and hallelujah. This way, your spirit is always ready. And whenever something comes in, you're ready to go. I'm going to Walmart to get some wet out to the office. I'm going here. Light is green for me to turn into Owens Mills Boulevard. And here come this guy flying. The light is already red for him. It's green for me. The air is turning. So when I'm gonna turn, he just came in. Voo! I smack on my brake. My laptop goes to the floor. And he took off. You know, the blood just boiled. I said, Lord, save this blessed of the Lord. Save this blessed of the Lord in Jesus' name. I bind his soul into the kingdom of God. Well, next traffic light gets red and there's a big rig coming. like 24 wheels or something like that. He's smashing the brakes, smoke comes out. I'm catching up with you. I stop on his side, look at him. I'm sorry. So you're cool, man. We continue. I go head to do when I get Walmart. Look what I was looking for. Come to the line. There is the guy. And he's the person in front of me. Are you okay, hon? Said I have some pain on my back. So I touched him. Can I pray for you? Sure. And then he looked at me. Me again. Spirit of pain, in the name of Jesus, I submit to God and I resist you right now. In the name of Jesus, I bind you, I resist you, and I send you back to the pits of hell. Get out of this man back right now in Jesus' name. The lady in front of me, hallelujah! Then everybody looks. Everybody looks. In Jesus' name, amen. He goes, man, this is good. Then the lady said, how are you feeling, hon? I said, the pain is gone. She goes, hallelujah! What I'm saying here is, you're going to face demonic powers that will challenge your position in Christ. You're going to face demonic forces that will challenge your belief. Jesus said, this kind can be cast out only by prayer. We should develop a prayer lifestyle. We should have some spiritual discipline to give God some time. And this will prepare your spirit to face whatever is coming down the road. And you know what? When you do the prayer, do not doubt. Do not doubt. In Dutch we say, Vrijpostig. That means, there are some demons that are presumptuous. One time I was praying for a principality. He said, I am not getting out of here. I've been here all my life and you cannot take me out of here. I said, you idiot. I cannot do that. But you know what? I'm going to call somebody else. We're going to agree because God's word says whenever two of us agree on earth upon anything, God agree in heaven. We're going to send you straight to the pits of hell and lock you there until the day of judgment. Say, I'm leaving, but there's more than here. Before you could agree. So there are demons. They are presumptuous. Like St. Dutch Vrijpostig. They're going to challenge your authority. They're going to challenge your faith. They're going to challenge your beliefs. If you have a prayer lifestyle and you know your Bible, they will bend. Amen?
Amen?
Number two, another obstacle that we have in deliverance is that we don't know that demons have different strength. What do you mean? Jesus said here, this kind. Doesn't it suggest that there are several kinds? So this kind specifically. So there's different strength between the demonic. Should that intimidate you and I? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Not in a million years. Why? Because our God is more powerful than any demon that there may be. Are we together so far?
Amen.
So, what you're saying, preacher, what I'm saying here right now is that you and I should always remember that demons may have different strength. And as a result of this, don't take too much for granted. Be in a prayerful lifestyle. And when they challenge your authority, stick with the word. Speak with authority.
Amen?
Amen? Now, it's also wise to say that sometimes we have problem with deliverance because there are some conditions that has to be met in order for us to deal with the devil. One of them is supposed to believe. that that's going to happen. I told you several times that one time, all the way in the bush, in the countryside on the Amazon, this preacher was living a lousy life. He was winky to some people on the choir and some other stuff. So it's very common in the Amazon for a church to go on a Saturday night and join another church and have a big service together. Very common. Well, the senior pastor went and took the whole church. Only the assistant pastor was left in town. And there was somebody demon-possessed in that town, breaking the whole house. So they run, nobody there, they go to the assistant pastor's house. Hey, you gotta come. There's a demon somebody here, and she's breaking the whole house. So we go in. When we walk in, the demon look at him and said, what are you doing here? Do you think I don't know you? If you dare to pray, I'll get out of prayer and get into you. He turned around and he walked out. We had to pray to get this demon out. There are some conditions that must take place when we are doing hard prayer for deliverance, for healing. Are you with me here? Some of the conditions are, number one, forgiveness. If you are trying to cast a demon out and you have unforgiveness in your heart, you will never be able to do that. Because when we willingly hold a grudge against someone, the Bible says that because we have not forgiven that person, we shall be delivered into the hands of the tormentor. Let's go to Matthew 18:35 real quick. Read it with me. You know what? Brother Harry, go on the verse back, please. And his master was angry and delivered him to until. May I have the King James? Let me see the King James. Oh, there you go. And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. Verse 35. So likewise shall my heavenly Father also do also unto you, if you from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. So when somebody's into the ministry of deliverance, or when somebody's supposed to go and pray for a hard case, stop right away before you go. Check yourself out. If your hubby last night pinched you before he went to sleep and he left this morning and you were mad, before you go, just say, okay, Lord, I'm forgiving my hubby. I wish his nail would do something, but you know, I forgive him. He's forgiven. There's no grudges against my hubby, although I didn't like the pinch. But that's all right. It's forgiven. When we do not forgive, according to that scripture, we are delivered into the hands of tormentors. And those are demons. How now are you going to pray to cast out a demon when you have a demon tormenting you? Are you with me here? So it's another condition that has to be taken care of. Has to be met. We got to learn to forgive people that has given us hard time. Now, I'm going to say something here now that's a little tricky. It's not tricky, but some people could easily misunderstand. And I want you to pay attention to what I'm saying here. Not only should we forgive people for all that they have done, but we should also repent. Repent of what? I'll tell you this. If you are honest, and you would go now with a little microscope, you would find a few things to repent of. Are you with me here?
Yes.
I know that you are very pure, very holy. But I guarantee you today, if we are 100% honest, we should repent. Sometimes there are things that are in the background and we know we should repent and we didn't. Again, we are driving 695, get off I-83, get on Timonium Road, light is green for me, and that blessing come in and merge right in front of me. So I have to smack on the brake, everything goes to the floor again. I get back on track, thank God everybody on the back stopped. So we come to the next light, I'm right on the side. Guy looked at me, what? I said, you're such an idiot. Bye. And I left. I didn't go too far, not even two lights. The conviction came into my heart. With your lips, you bless God, and the same lips, now you're cursing somebody created to God's image. Didn't you see what he did? But it doesn't fly. I'm supposed to know better than this. All right, I'm sorry. Forgive me. Send him back my way or apologize. Little things like this. If we are in this deliverance ministry, and or if we are praying for people that has demon possession, or if we are praying for people that have difficult with their hearts, another condition that should be met, we should pray and ask God forgiveness, and we should repent of anything that may be counting against us. Some people may ask, why is it so important? I believe that repentance is the prelude to deliverance. Did you hear what I said?
Yes.
I believe that repentance is the prelude to deliverance. Let me give you some scripture. Psalms 7:12, Brother Harry. That may not be on your list. Give me Psalms 7:12. Let's see what does it say. And let's see how important this is. If he does not turn back,
he will sharpen his swords. He bends his bow and makes it ready.
What? I don't understand. Give me the King James. For some reason today I was nostalgic. A little bit out of my mind. I was reading the King James. And then I'm thinking, what are you doing? If he turn not, he will wet his sword. He has bent his bow. Read it red. If somebody does not repent, God's sword of judgment will be ready. Are you with me here?
Yes.
May I have the NLT, please? Thank you. I don't know what I was thinking. If a person does not repent, God will sharpen his sword. He will bend and string his bow. Are we together here?
Yes.
So when we are praying for sick people, when we are fighting a spiritual battle on behalf of our family, or on behalf of a family member, on behalf of a position, a good job, we are fighting demonic powers, repentance is a very important thing. Listen to Acts 2:38. Brother Harry, give me please Acts 2:38. I wasn't thinking about showing these scripts, but I may as well do it. Then Peter said to them,
Repent.
Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Repentance causes sins to be remitted.
Amen.
When it is done on a godly fashion. Still the book of Acts, Brother Harry, can you give me chapter 3, verse 19? Acts 3:19. Watch this. Repent, therefore, and that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. You see how important repentance is?
Yes.
Not only should we repent, but we should also be converted. What that means? That means that you were doing something, you were walking that direction, and you realize, this is not what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm sorry, Lord. You repented. Now you convert. You walk in the opposite direction. Are we together here?
Yes.
This is what's going to bloat out sins. And when we are praying for people with diseases and demonic warfare, we better have our act together and repent from anything that may be a little open door for the enemy. When you go to Acts 17, verse 30, we have the same thing. It shows, Acts 17:30, how important it is for us not to have our prayers blocked. How important it is for us to repent so that prayers can go through, demons can be beat up, and deliverance can be administered. Truly, these times of ignorance got overlooked. But now commands all men everywhere is on the menu. It's on the menu. If we want to be successful praying for the sick, if we want to be successful leading our family to Christ, if we want to be successful in whatever we do, we better make sure that we repent from anything that may hinder the Spirit of God from work on us. You know, when we take too long to repent from something that we supposed to have repented, we run a risk. What risk? Of Jesus turning his back on us temporarily. Can you imagine if you're in the middle of the fight and you need some, hey Lord, I need some backup here. Mm-mm. You're going to repent. What? I repent now. Watch this. You may say, you're pushing. Well, watch this. Brother Harry, give me Revelation chapter 2, verse 15. Watch this. Revelation chapter 2, verse 15. Thus, you also have those. Let's go to the next scripture. 16. Well, you already have the devil that you're battling in prayer. You don't need to have Jesus come fighting against you for the lack of repentance. Are we together here?
Yes.
Somebody may say, you know, this comes without saying. May I suggest to you that among the Christian community, the majority of the times, the sense of self-righteousness is so high that a lot of people have difficulty admitting they are wrong and therefore not repenting. No, this is not your case. I'm talking about the Christian community overall. So if we want to be successful in praying for the sick, praying for the family, leading them into the kingdom, praying for deliverance, there's another condition that should be met. We should repent from all the junk on the way. Another condition for us to be successful ministers, whether you're a pastor or you're just a brother in church, this applies to all of us. We need to get rid of the junk. What to call junk? Occult objects. What? Yes. We need to get rid of the occult objects. Like what? All the paraphernalia that give demons a legal right to withstand you. Well, like what? Well, I mentioned a few days ago the case of the angels. Oh, it's so cute. It's a crystal angel. What's wrong with it? What's something wrong? Maybe it's something wrong. Why can't you get rid of it? Because my grandmother gave it to me. So what? God don't want us to have any carved image of anything. And I know that this will mess up a lot of people. So you may be thinking, okay, preacher, give me a scripture to back up what you're saying. So before I give you the scripture, let me go a step further. When I'm saying get rid of occult objects. It could be an image. It could be a crucifix. My mom gave me that. And it is gold. So how do you want me to get rid? Take it to the goldsmith. Let him melt it. And do you suffering? I don't want it. I'll make a coin. A gold coin. It can be a yoga book that you had from the prior church where you went, where they had yoga classes. I mean, it could be a lot of stuff. When we have that, When we have that junk in the house, we give demons leader. Can you put up there Acts 19:19? And this also includes prior involvement with the occult. Read it with me. Also, many of those am I clear enough? I know a physician who is an elder in the church, and they bought a Ouija board for their kids. And he doesn't want to get rid of it because it costs a lot of money. And I'm thinking, he must be retarded. We had a serious argument about this. But this tells you that family can never be in peace. Somebody's always sick in the house. I was counseling a preacher from California that the cancer started traveling in this man's body. He calls in here. Somehow they were talking to a scrivener, and they mention us, and they call here. So we pray. The lungs is good. The cancer went back, no cancer on the lungs. Then a month later, he calls back. It's now in the brain. We pray for the brain cancer. It goes away. 3 months later, he calls. Now it's on the kidneys. And we pray again, and 3 months later, wait a minute, whoa. That means that some demon has a legal right on your life. That's preposterous. I'm a pastor. And so what? And the man got kind of rowdy with me. While he's having a rant, the Lord revealed to me. I said, excuse me, before you continue. Does your house have a basement? Yes. Is the carpet on your stairways a kind of creamish off-white color? Yes. And then when you go, if we make a right, going down to your basement, is where all your TV and some sofas and some entertainment stuff and a refrigerator, it's in there. Yes. And you have a double door refrigerator fridge there, white. Yes. I said, now to the left, there's a small bathroom. Yes. And between the bathroom and the dividing wall, there's something like a bookshelf with doors. Yes. And it's locked right now. Yes. And what you have on that bookshelf are Playboy magazines since 1980. Yes. How did you know all this? I didn't. But you're such a knucklehead, you're butting heads with me, and God just showed me that. The men start crying. I'll pray for you. You're going to feel a relief on the pain, but it's not going to go away until you burn all those magazines. The wife is listening to the conversation. So she jumped into, I think there were two phones, you know, houses that have two phones. I don't know. The wife asked him, since when you have Playboy magazine in this house? I said, oh boy. I said, brother, let me pray for you right away. Because I gotta go back to work. They called 3 days later. Obviously, his wife was furious. Preacher, we burn everything out. Okay? Then you're going to be healed. Can you do one last prayer? I said, yes. Before we pray, did you ask your wife forgiveness? How could I ask her forgiveness? She's raising hell in the house. Duh! And then he asked her forgiveness. I said, ma'am, would you mind saying in a loud voice that you forgive your husband? Yes. I said, well, you better do that, because if you don't do, the thing is going to jump on you. Lord, I forgive this.
Blessed of the Lord.
Blessed of the Lord. We prayed. 6 months later, he calls. Say, Pastor, I've been cancer-free for 6 long months. The Bible says here also, many of those who had practiced magic brought their books together and burned them in the sight of all. Get rid of all the paraphernalia, all the junk that will give demons legal right over your life.
Amen.
Watch this. Brother Harry, can you put over there the New Living Translation? And then the backslider. A number of them who had been practicing sorcery brought their incantation books. Isn't that something? And burned them at a public bonfire. The value of the books was several million dollars. And today people are going to the store, to Toys R Us, to buy incantation book for their kids. Are you kidding me? Watch this. May I have the backslider translation? Hold on, sis. Hold on. All kinds of witches and warlocks came out of the woodwork with their books of spells and incantations and made a huge bonfire of them. Someone estimated their worth at 50,000 silver coins. That at today's value, about $12 million. So what you're saying? It doesn't matter how precious the junk is. Get rid of the junk. So you can be successful in your prayer life. You can be successful when you lead in your family to Christ. You can be successful in fighting the demons. And they don't have anything to point back at you. Yes, sis.
And I said, Lord, I don't worship angels. I just had them because it looked pretty. And so I went home. I got rid of them. I said, Father, I don't have a bad attitude. I will do what the pastor says. And
oh,
that
boy.
Time I was going through a little financial difficulty. But when I did that, I came back on Wednesday night, and I told you that I did. You had prayed for me. And 2 weeks later, a company sent me some money that they owed me. And I'll share the amount. It was $8,632.
Glory to God. Are we together here? So folks, it would be wise from us, you know, to get rid of the junk that's clogging our bookshelves. Warlock books, incantation, divination, horoscope books. Get rid of the junk. That will give you a heads out over the competition. My Lord, is this right? Whoa. Boy, time flies when you're having fun. Well, I've got a few more things here. But I'm not going to have enough time to do it. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Don't worry, brother. I'm calling an end right now. So what's the conclusion for tonight, preacher? Sometimes in our eyes, certain things may seem may look very innocent. But the thing behind it is what may be giving demons legal rights. I'm not asking you to go home and set your house on fire. Well, if you have insurance, you're going to get a brand new house. I'm not saying that. Don't go home and set your house on fire. No. What I'm saying here right now is, if we want to face the demons, Jesus said, "Behold, I give you power over serpents, scorpions, and all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall cause you harm." Didn't he say that? Yes. The power is ours. The promise is ours. The authority is also ours. So if demons are fussing to get out, if sickness and diseases are fussing to get out, mostly like they may, although they are liars, they might think they have a legal ground. And this is when we have to clear the air. What do you mean? It would be very smart for us to have spiritual discipline. It would be very nice to understand that demons vary on strength. It would be very nice to know that some condition has to be met, like forgiving everybody that we already know. It would be very nice for us to repent on a daily basis so that we have the way clear. And then it will be very nice for us to get rid of occult objects and all the paraphernalia, all the junk that may give demons any legal right. Next week, if the Lord does not return, I want to show you some other stuff that people doesn't think it's a problem. For example, when people that come to church has been involved with false religions before they came to Christ, that's a sure door that the devil will try to keep open all the time so he can weaken the church. The Bible teaches us that our God is a jealous God, and I'm going to show you that next week. In my Bible, there isn't any scriptures that allows any one of us to be on the top of the wall. You're either in or you're out. You can be on the top of the wall. You cannot be waving between two thoughts. You can't be lukewarm. Jesus said, "I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. So get your act together." It's what the Lord says. Folks, we've got all that takes to live a life of victory. We've got all that takes to live a life of power. We've got all that take to triumph, to boss around any demonic power. Because greater is He that is within you and I than all the ones that is in the world. May God give you boldness to understand and recognize who you are and get ready to fight at a moment's notice, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, let us continue to honor our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and our God. Thank you, Father, for giving us the heads up how to deal with the enemy. Amen. Thank you, Pastor, for the wisdom.
What we got?
Okay.
Let's go.
See, so would you give God thanks?
Please stretch your hands towards the offering. Father God, we bless you for this offering. Lord, we bless you for the authority that you have given us. We bless you for the guidance that we heard tonight on how to use that authority, how to enable that authority, and how to shut the enemy up. For the enemy wants to step on us, get in the way of everything that you want us to do, Lord. And we rebuke that. We refuse that in Jesus' name. Lord, we command that the enemy return everything that he has stolen from us. All of the money he has held up, taken from us, Lord, we command it to come back in Jesus' name. And Lord, we give back to you all that you deserve, all that your word says that we should give back to you, Lord. For Lord, we are just managing this money. It is not ours. We bless you, Lord, for trusting us with it. We bless you, Lord, for the authority to get it back from the enemy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Cecil. Well, we'll be back here for some more fun in God's Word on Saturday morning at 8 o'clock. Are we doing Romans 8? Yes. Romans 8, that'll be fun. The men, 8 o'clock, back here Saturday morning. 9:30, the women will get together and they will pray. We will make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Then on Sunday, we have a triple header Sunday. We do a service at 10, then a service at 2 in the middle, and then back at 7 o'clock. And that's so we've got triple header Sunday, the first Sunday of each month. That's the way that goes. Do we have a sign-up sheet for this coming month up here yet?
We have, but it's not
available yet.
It will be here Sunday.
Just to remind you that the last Saturday of each month is we're just setting it aside as a prayer chain. We come at 7 o'clock, we land at 4, and a half an hour segment, so when that comes you can sign up for it and like that. Coming up, Prophet Dave Martin next month in the middle of the month, the 14th and 15th, then Joan Hunter. We have to look forward to the following month, and Thurman Scrivener that same month at the end of January, February, March, April. April 26th, 27th, 28th, Pastor Thurman Scribner. I always look forward to seeing him. And Sister Marcia, is there anything that you'd like to announce? Wonderful. Pastor, let me give it back to you.
Stand on your feet, please. And receive the benediction. Ivrecha Adonai v'yishmerecha. יאיר אדוני פניו אליך ויקונך. יישא אדוני פניו אליך וישם לך שלום. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord shine his face upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift his countenance upon you and grant you peace. Shalom. Go in peace.